Turn your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 1. Actually, this morning I decided to preach a very simple message with a very simple title. And the title of my message is Leading Your Family Forward. Leading Your Family Forward. The great responsibility of every husband, every father, of every mother, is to lead their family forward. Families can be led backwards, or families can be led forward. In fact, every person is either going forward or they're going backward. Every young person is preparing for life. You know, it's interesting. I heard one time a preacher said, your firstborn is one of the most important children in your family because typically what they do, the rest of the children will do. And there are a lot of principles involved in that. The principle of them being the oldest, the principle of example, the principle of many times the firstborn is very strong-willed, etc. But you know, families either go forward or they go backward. People either go forward or they go backward. I was reading a missionary letter. Can't remember what missionary it was. But in the missionary letter, it said, pray for such and such a family. Obviously, I didn't know who that family was, thousands of miles away. Pray for such and such a family. They are making some very unwise choices. What he was saying in different words was that family was being led in backwards spiritually. And those decisions would lead them to unknown ground. Ground of trouble, etc. You know, in the Bible we have some interesting examples of leadership. And I think we can draw some truths on these principles. Now, the Bible's a great textbook. And, you know, if a person is a first-generation Christian, it means that they weren't raised in a Christian home. So they're going to have to make a lot of decisions that are contrary to what they grew up with. Because they won't have experienced godly leadership. If a person is a young person and they weren't raised in a Christian home, they are facing the same dilemma. They're going to go on ground that they never walked on before and they never saw really happen before. Now, really, the Christian life is a life of faith. The Bible tells us in Romans 1 that we're saved by faith unto faith. We're saved by faith unto a life of constant faith. And means that we're going on ground we never were on before. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And even in that sense, the Christian life, none of us have lived it before. Never lived it before. We have to go forward by faith. We can't do it over again and say, well, I want to go back to when I was 18 and undo the bad decisions I made. Can't do that. You only get one chance. One chance at life. And so these principles really are simple, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a godly Christian. But there are simple principles in the Bible. So how to lead your family forward? I'm going to give you a very simple principle. And the first principle is a principle of obedience. In Joshua chapter 1, we have Moses is now dead. And the leadership of the nation of 2 million people is being passed to a different man. A man by the name of Joshua. And we have to ask ourselves two questions. Why was he chosen to lead? And then, secondly, what was the principle by which God told him to lead? And they're both the same. The principle of obedience. Chapter 1 of Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant or minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Now, notice the principle. Hey, here's Moses. You depended upon Moses. He was a great leader. But guess what? He's dead. You can't lean on him anymore. You can't lean on him anymore. You can't rely on him anymore. It says, and you know, it's interesting. It's interesting in life. I think of a great preacher. I won't say who he was, but he had six daughters. And those six daughters, when he was alive, basically followed the right pathway. But when he died, five of those six went way to the left. He was gone. Now they had to walk. They had to walk in their own shoes. And every one of us, in some way in life, are going to have to walk in our own shoes. What are we going to do? It says, Moses is dead. And it says, go over this Jordan, thou and all thy people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down, all shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to be stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now notice the principle of what he is saying. He's saying the same thing over and over. He says, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now, unless you don't know what that word means, it means to obey God's law. What was his job as a leader? His job was to cause the people to obey God. That's simple, isn't it? That was his job. Now, let's go back a little bit. Let's go to Numbers chapter 32. And let's see why God picked Joshua. What qualified him for leadership? We already see what he was to do as a leader. Numbers 32. It's talking about the people who died in the wilderness. And speaking of Joshua and Caleb, who were allowed to go into the promised land. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land, which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. No, a simple principle. What did they do? What did Joshua do that fitted him for this job? Obeyed. What was his job? To cause the people to obey. Pretty simple, isn't it? You say, I don't know anything about leadership. You know what? You don't have to know anything about leadership. Leadership is founded on one basic principle: obedience. We're talking about spiritual leadership. Now, we're not talking about religious leadership. Now, that's different. Do you understand that? Religious leadership is far different than spiritual leadership. People can lead people religiously or so-called spiritually in any direction. But when we talk about spiritual leadership, we're talking about leadership that is according to God's will and God's plan. It's talking about leadership that is based on spiritual principles and spiritual practices. It's leadership that comes from the Holy Spirit. There's a huge difference between religious leadership and spiritual leadership. There's many people who are leading religious institutions in the wrong direction. They have leadership, but they don't have spiritual leadership. There's a huge difference. You need to understand that. Spiritual leadership, the foundation of spiritual leadership, to lead in the realm of the Spirit of God and in God's way, is founded upon one simple principle: obedience. Obedience. Josh was a man who followed the Lord. Now, you know, there were leaders of every one of the other tribes. And there were 10 other spies that went into the land. They were leaders of their tribes. But they weren't spiritual leaders. They were religious leaders. They were not spiritual leaders. They led the people in the wrong direction. You understand the principle? You get it, guys? There's a huge difference between religious leadership, and spiritual leadership. In the realm of spiritual leadership, is in the realm of obedience. And what was he to lead? He was to lead in the realm of obedience. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a spiritual process, a spiritual reality that must take place in a person's life. What is that process? That process is the process of hearing the command of God. It is the response to that command that whereby that person obeys that command. You know, there's a process that takes place. Let me illustrate it. You tell a child, let's say here's a two-year-old. They're very transparent. And they're going to do something. Maybe they're walking away or they're going to go towards something they're not supposed to go toward. You know, you can almost see it in a one-year-old. You can almost imagine a one-year-old. You know, they're beginning to walk and they're maybe they like to play in the garbage or something like that. You know what I mean? But they're going somewhere and you can see that they're going over to the garbage. And you say, don't go to the garbage. And you can see, you can almost see the wheels turning, can't you? They're processing this command. And they're saying, I heard it. You know, I really want to go over here. And you can see it in their eyes. That's where they really want to go. And they're processing it, but Mom said no. And maybe they're thinking of their bottom. You know, maybe they're thinking of something else. And the process is, the thing is being processed. And then they come to a decision. And either that decision is to keep going towards that garbage can, or their decision is to stop. And now it might make another process to turn around and go in the opposite direction. But you know, there's a process that takes place in life, in the realm of obedience. But you know, there's a spiritual process for a child of God. There's a spiritual process for a child of God in their relationship to God. That process has to go through their heart. It has to go through their mind. It has to go through their will. It has to come to a point of decision. There has to be an action. You know, it's interesting in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the word repentance, the parallel word for repentance in the Old Testament is the word turn. In the Old Testament, God doesn't say, you know, I'll bless you if you, you know, if you say, well, I'm going to stop doing that. God says he would bless them if they would turn. In other words, they stop doing what they were doing and they turn from it and they start doing the right thing. Now that's repentance. That's a Bible definition of repentance. Now, let's get back to the idea of obedience. There's a process. Now, it's a simple truth. What about obedience is a foundation of leadership? Why is it the foundation? Because it is the foundation of a person being able to submit to God and to do what God wants them to do. Now, I think we're going to repeat something here that's very important. You know what? You can't give to somebody else what you don't have yourself. You can't give to somebody else what you don't have yourself. You know, in the Bible, there was a very severe penalty for children that did not obey their parents. And to us, it seems very, very alarming and maybe very harsh. But I think that this is the issue. This is the issue. In the context of the Old Testament, a child that would not obey was to be very, very rare. It was to be very, very rare. Now remember, we live in 2 Timothy chapter 3 days, in which the Bible says, in the last days shall be perilous times. And in those perilous times, that one of the marks of the perilous times, it says that children shall be disobedient to their parents. Now, let's put it in practical terms where you can understand this. Okay? Let's put it in practical terms where you can understand this. To obey spiritually, you have to experience the process. You have experienced the process. You know what the pull of the world is, the pull of the flesh, the pull of whatever. You know the pull. You know what God said. You know the process that has to go through your mind and your heart that weighs the two, and what it takes to come to the place where you say, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to obey. And you know what it takes to go beyond saying that you're going to do it and really doing it. And then you also get to experience the results of obedience, which the Bible tells there are spiritual results of obedience. For instance, the Bible says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. There are spiritual results of obedience that only those who obey understand. Understand that? Now, foundation of spiritual leadership, obey. Now, I'm going to make this real practical. If you were a rebellious teenager, or even worse than that, a rebellious adult, how are you going to teach your child how to obey? You don't know how. You never did it yourself. How are you going to teach them? It's not something that you teach them by saying, do that! Because it isn't that simple. There's a spiritual process. And you know, Christians who have really never become obedient Christians, they aren't going to be able to lead their family forward. Obedience is the key. Young person, obey. Obey right now. To obey your parents is to learn how to obey the Holy Spirit. It's learned how to obey God. Obey God! It is the key to the leadership that is required in every realm of life as a Christian. Obedience. Now in the Bible, there are direct commands. If you remember Grant Rice, he used to come preach here and he says, now in your Bible, every place that you need, you see a direct command right in, put in there. D, capital D, period, O, period. Remember that? Yeah? And, you know, there's direct commands. And as you read your Bible, right in there, direct command. And you know, there's a lot of direct commands in the Bible. There's a lot of them. Whatever they might be. It's a direct command. And it calls us to obedience. You know, in the Bible, there's also what I would call indirect commands. There's principles. There's principles. There's principles of truth. It's revealed truth. The revealed truth of the Bible that is meant for us to meditate on and think about and purposely apply it to our life. They're principles. It's different than a direct command. In the book of Proverbs, we have all wonderful principles. And he tells us take those principles and to think about it and to personally meditate on them and to personally learn how to apply them to your life and obey them. You know, I say that there's this brand of Christianity that doesn't know about obedience today. And they're the kind of people that say, you know, I want everything black and white. I want everything spelled out. You know, and that's the only way that I'm going to obey the Bible. Of course, when it comes to something being spelled out, they don't obey it anyhow. They got an excuse. Okay? But you know, principles. Principles that you must apply to your life. So, as we read the Bible, we're constantly looking for principles of truth. Oh, what's the truth God's trying to teach me here? What truth is here? Why? I was just thinking about that today. I was thinking about a verse in the Bible in the Old Testament about don't mingle your seeds. And I was thinking, you know, I wonder what we will learn in 50 years about that verse. There's some principles there. I wonder what we're going to learn. That mankind didn't obey God. But you know, we're to be people who are looking to obey God. That's the foundation of leading your family forward is obedience, whether it's direct commands, whether it's principles of truth. That needs to be our habit. Now, let's make it positive here. You know, you think of the unknown of life ahead of you. You think, how will I do? You think, how will I do in life? You know, it's really a mysterious question. It's a big question, isn't it? You know what? You don't need to be worried about that. if you obey God. If you're a man of obedience, if you're a person of obedience, let me tell you right now, you don't have to worry about your future. Because the foundation of success in life is learning to obey God. And when you learn to obey God, its truths will so become a part of your life. You will be like Abraham, where God says, I know him, that he will command his children after me. And they'll walk in my ways. Why? Because of a man of obedience. And it's the pathway of blessing. It's so simple. You don't have to go become a rocket scientist, have big brains on this to figure this out. Just a simple, any child can do this. Okay, let's talk about another principle. Another great principle of leading your family forward. First one, obedience. When's the last time you just decided that you're going to obey God just because it was right? Number two, the second principle is the principle of looking to God. And I want to go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, and I want to look at another great leader in the Bible, and his name was David. He was a spiritual leader. He was a leader of the people. He was a leader for God. And one thing that we find that characterizes his life, very simple truth, was that he looked to God for his guidance in life. Now notice 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17 gives us the context. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now notice, David become king. The Philistines were going to test his kingship. They were going to test his ability to lead the people. And they didn't come up to see him to say, hi, how you doing? They came up to battle against him and test his ability to lead the people. Now, the Bible says that when all this took place, David asked the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest had the Urim and Thummim. We don't even know what the Urim and Thummim was, but it was a part of the ministry of the high priest. And perhaps these were two rocks. I imagine in English setting, they were two rocks inside the pouch on his ephod. And one side, and they were square probably, or a flat rock or whatever, one side it said yes, and the other side it said no. And they go to the high priest and they says, we don't want know what to do in this situation. There's no verse that says I should go up to the Philistines or not. And so he went to the high priest and said, should I go to battle? And the high priest would somehow reach into his Urim and Thummim and pull out one rock and said, yes. And then he pulled out another rock. And if it said yes, he knew that that's what he was supposed to do. Now, when Saul inquired of the Lord, he wasn't right with God, and so he went to the high priest, and the Bible says the Lord answered him not, because he went to the high priest and he pulled out one rock and said yes, and the other rock said no. And so the Lord would lead his people. through the ministry of the high priest. And throughout the history of David, we read, and you can look this up in your Bible, that all these different occasions in life, what did he do? He just didn't go and do it. He got a definite answer from God. Let me ask you a question. Do you know how to get definite answers from God? Do you know how to get definite answers from God? We're talking about spiritual leadership, aren't we? How do you get definite answers from God? You know, let's contrast it. You know, some people don't have any idea how to get definite answers from God. Some people don't get answers from God. They just make decisions based on you know, whatever. Now, let's talk to a New Testament principle. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What is it saying? It's saying a very simple truth, that those that are saved now have this great privilege of having the Holy Spirit dwell in them the moment they are born into the family of God. And that Holy Spirit is the living third person of the Trinity. He is real. He is alive. He is the Christ in us. And He is the earnest of our inheritance. It is real. And He is there to lead us in the path of righteousness, just like Psalm 23 says. He's there to lead us in the path of righteousness. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, a child of God knows what it means to be led by God. Knows how to be led by God. You know, a lot of people are confused about this, though. Because, you know, in your Bible, the Bible says, when the Spirit of truth has come, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. I remember visiting Maquonago years and years ago. It was on Arbor Drive or Century Drive. I remember the house. The lady claimed to be saved. And she said, I'm going to divorce my husband. And I said something like, no, she said, the Lord told me to divorce my husband. And I said, God didn't tell you that. God didn't tell you that. How did I know that? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit never leads a person to do something contrary to the Bible. He's the Spirit of truth. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff nowadays. You know that? That He never did. And He never led in. But what is spiritual leadership? Spiritual leadership is that person who knows how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you some principles of the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, we already gave an insight into this. It's talking about the armor of the believer. In Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if there's a good reason to have your heart filled with the Word of God and know the Word of God, it has to do with the ability to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has in His hand the sword of the Word. And the Holy Spirit leads us through the Word of God that we have purposed to put into our life. Now, if we're ignorant and we choose to be ignorant, how can we be led by God very well? Because we don't know the Bible. We don't know its truths. And so the believer, to be led by God, goes to the Bible, finds Bible truths, Bible principles, and makes their decisions based on the principles of the Word of God and truths of the Word of God. He's the Spirit of truth. The Bible tells us that He also, the Holy Spirit, works in our conscience. Notice in Romans chapter 9, what Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that an interesting phrase? My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's another important principle, being led by God. You know, a lot of people don't do a very good job of keeping their conscience. And the Holy Spirit has a ministry bearing witness in our conscience. You ever notice that young person who starts violating their conscience? And they start doing worldly things. And they start doing things that they said they would never do. You know what? After a while, they come and they say, oh, those things that I used to say, I was just being manipulated by my parents. What did they lose? They lost the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their conscience. And now they're missing one of the great ingredients of life. You know what it is? The leading of the Holy Spirit. Being able to inquire of God and the Spirit of God to use the truth of the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God to be clear in their mind. I was just thinking about this in a political sense. I heard a commentary, you probably heard it on Crosstalk. And they were talking about how Jesse Jackson in the 1960s was a great opponent of abortion. And he preached, was outspoken critic of abortion and called it exactly what it was, racist genocide. But when he decided that he wanted to run for political office for president as a Democrat, he no longer ever again spoke that way. And it was interesting what the commentator said. These men will forsake their principles. And the same is true spiritually. When people forsake principle and their conscience, they now have a difficult time to lead forward spiritually. You know, on the other hand, it's so simple. It is so simple. It is so wonderful. It is so wonderful to be led of the Holy Spirit. It is so simple. I think of a young person got saved, and 2 weeks after they were saved, they were listening to their music. And the Holy Spirit said, those words are terrible. Not obviously in an audible voice. Those words are terrible! And she received it. Guess what? Learning how to become a spiritual leader. Listening and obeying the Holy Spirit of God. What a key. Listening and obeying the Holy Spirit of God. Very simple. But it's the key to life. Last principle I want to talk about quickly. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, fishers of men is what they needed to be. The condition was follow Christ. The following of Christ would bring about a transformation. A transformation. We would call it change. The Lord said to Peter, thou art Simon. Thou shalt be called Cephas. Thou art Simon. Thou art, Simon means vacillating. Hot and cold. That's a pretty good description of Peter, wasn't it? He says, but you shall be called Cephas. A rock. Firm. Sound, unwavering, bold, courageous. There was a transformation that took place in his life. That transformation gave him the credibility to lead and gave him gave others the impetus to follow. Paul said, be followers of me as I am also of Christ. Transformation. You know, the Bible tells us in John 7:38 that we are supposed to be rivers. Out of us are supposed to be flowing rivers of living water. You know the maniac of Gadara? The Lord instructed him and says, go and tell others what great things the Lord has done for you. Transformation. Change. It's the putting together of the process. You know, really, that transformation is a result, though. It's what Christ does in us. There's obedience. And there's results of obedience. There's submitting to the leadership of the Spirit of God. As He points out sin, as He shows us the pathway, there's decisions that are to be made. The result? Transformation. And the transformation is the qualification that gives us the ability to lead others. You know, we talk about some big words today. When we talk about the word obey, that's a tough word. You know, most of Christianity, they've thrown out that word, obey. I don't like that word anymore. People don't like that word. People don't like the word obey. I mean, do you think teenagers like the word obey? What do you think? I don't think they like the word obey. Do you think wives like the word obey nowadays? I think they like that word. I mean, do you think Christians like that word? Obey them, they have the rule over you? Think they like the word? I don't think so. But the answer to the question is this: how are things going? How are things going? How's Christianity doing nowadays? Not too well. Now, there's a great truth here. We learn obedience from Jesus Christ. We learn obedience from Jesus Christ. I like we were memorizing Ephesians. And I think I'm remembering the verse right. According to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord. You ever stop and think about that? Paul was saying to the believers, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, he isn't like the modern Christianity that says, well, you know, you can have Jesus and, you know, you can live the way you want. In fact, we were listening, we saw that Christian video, Time Changer, and it was interesting what the preacher said. He was preaching to this crowd and he says, to these so-called Christians, says Jesus will not save those who he cannot command. Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that interesting? Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You know, could you imagine, you know, saying, hey, Thomas, you're my Lord, but don't you dare tell me anything to do. Can you imagine that? What vain words would that be? You know, why would you want to obey Jesus Christ? You know why? The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know, if we obey ourselves, we're going to do what everybody does that's unsaved. They're going to mess up their life. We're sinners. We can't rule our life. Well, we can only rule our wealth poor life poorly. You know, repentance is coming to realize that we have all gone astray. We have willfully, knowingly, purposely gone our own way. Why? Because we are sinners. And when we come to the end of going our own way, doing our own thing, running our own life because we have a sinful heart, that's when we realize that we need Jesus Christ. We need him to save us from not only our sins, so to speak. We need to save him. We need him to save us from our sin, our sinfulness, our willfulness, our rebellion, our going our own way. We need to come to him, Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To as many as received him, who is he? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Praise the Lord. All things have passed away. All things are becoming new. It's a progressive tense there. Continuous tense. A continuing of the Lord. A continuing growth in our life. Where old things are passing away. A continual growth in our life where all things are becoming new. Where the process of obeying the Lord. The process of looking to God. The process of the work that he does in our life as we obey him, as we follow him, as we submit to him, as we lean upon him, as we allow him to work in our life, a wonderful transformation takes place in our life. Actually, the very virtue of coming to Jesus Christ and being saved gives a person the formula of being a leader for God. You know, every person that's saved now has become a leader in this world. They have become a leader for God. For upward direction. You know, young person, you don't have to be worried about being a good leader for God. You just obey God. Learn how to obey. Go through the process of all that's involved in learning to submit and obey God. Learn the process of reading your Bible and taking the principles of the Bible and applying them to your life and doing what it says, making decisions for God. That makes you a leader. Because now you understand the process. You've experienced it. Look to God. Let the Spirit of God minister to your heart and your conscience and in the Bible. And let God lead you in the path of righteousness. You won't understand righteousness until you get there. If you're always looking at it and shooting arrows at it and attacking it, you'll never understand it. You got to get there first. You see, spiritual truth isn't intellectual truth. It is, but it isn't. It's far beyond that. It's truth that has to be experienced in the life. But when you get saved, everyone who is saved has the ability to become a leader for God. Every young man who gets saved has the ability to be the right kind of leader in their home. Every young lady who gets saved has the ability, has the opportunity through God to be the right kind of mother, the right kind of person in society. It's all there. It's simple. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he the center of your life? Have you trusted him? Are these things to you kind of a mechanical stuff that's you know, kind of wooden? You're missing it. Or is it real? Is it internal? Is it a process that you're experiencing, you have experienced, and you are experiencing? It's real. It's real. It's the work of God. How do you start? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Admit the truth about what our leadership has done to our own life. Admit the truth and come to the end of ourselves and our pride and come to the only one who can save us and change us, Jesus Christ. How do we start? You know, in life, sometimes we have to constantly be restarting. And there may be one you can start today by dealing with one area of your life. One area of your life in which you, which by God's grace and His power, you decide that you're going to do what God wants you to do. Now! Listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him in that area you know you aren't obeying Him. It's not difficult. It's restarting the process of spiritual leadership in our life. Without it, we're nothing. Without it, we're totally except by the grace of God, limited to our own abilities. But with it, we can restart the process of going in the right direction. Wherever we are in life. And it can be, and we can start that process today. Maybe in your family. You're supposed to be having family devotions, but you aren't doing it. Hey, just decide that you're going to obey. Now! Decide there's something in your life that you've let slip. And you know, you've let it slip. And you say, no longer. I'm going to obey God now. Not later. Oh, you say, Pastor, you don't realize what a big thing you're saying. I'm saying, exactly. One little thing can restart the process of going forward for God. Now, if you aren't saved, this is just religion. If you're not saved, never happened. Because the process is on the inside. And you have to have the Holy Spirit on the inside in order for this process to work. So you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Repent of going your own way. Come to the end of yourself. Turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He isn't limited. He can save you right today. It doesn't matter how far away you've gotten from God. He died for every sin on Calvary's cross. And He can save us from every sin too. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank You for Your Word. A simple truth. Lord, deliver us from the indecisiveness that robs us of the joy and the blessing of obedience. Lord, deliver us from the slothfulness of getting caught up in some thing, some habit that robs us of our ability to go in the right direction ourselves, and robs us of the ability to help others as well. Lord, I pray that you'll help your people today not to be alarmed by the great responsibilities of life, not to be discouraged, but Lord, but on contrast, to be encouraged and encouraged to obey. I pray that you'll help those who have lost that spirit of obedience and have lost their zeal and their sharpness and their decisiveness and their spiritual insight. I pray that, Lord, that you'll help them even now in the quietness of this moment to reflect back to that place in their life where they lost that decisiveness because of a wrong decision. A decision to delay rather than to obey. An excuse because of circumstances rather than to overcome the circumstances. Lord, give grace to your people. Help them even now in this hour to regain their leadership as a person. I pray, Lord, for those souls that need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, we thank you that you're a living Savior, that you rose from the dead. That, Lord, that salvation is a living reality. And I pray that, Lord, that you will give grace, Lord, to folks even today to repent of their own sin, of their own direction in life, of their own willfulness, and to turn to Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And to save them, Lord, not only from the penalty of their sin, but from the power of their sin. And to give them a new life, a life in which will be lived for you, for your glory. May even now in the quietness of this moment, might they turn to you and trust Jesus Christ with all their sin and come to him as a sinner seeking that new life, that new heart that only can come through Jesus Christ who died and rose from the dead. Might they turn to you in faith, I pray. Bless even the invitation, Lord. Might we be decisive for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.